Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
City covet Super Jack's calves. Big Bang targets a big return, and everyone gets the chance to earn Europa Conference action. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Friday, 30th of July. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
And we've been driven apart by circumstance. We're back in our sexy little bedrooms and places like that. Pete Donaldson, yours looks like a padded cell.
It's my little padded cell I've made down the end of the garden. Yeah, I'm pleased to announce that I passed my driving test yesterday.
Oh, Petey!
And thought, wow, what freedom awaits. And then, I'm in lockdown, so.
Yeah.
Oh, no, never mind.
Maybe it's best for everybody. I don't know, Jim. Do you think you'll be taking lifts from Pete Donaldson in the future?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think you can turn down that opportunity.
Let's go to the reservoir,
sort of
Jim.
Exactly. You don't know where you're going to go. Where did the reservoir come from?
is that song from Pulp?
Ah.
Are you still? I guess the good thing about someone who's just passed their driving test is they're still like checking their mirrors and things like this.
Yeah, it's very hard to sort of learn how to drive when the things that your driving instructor is telling you and the things that the examiner are looking for, nobody seems to do. Nobody indicates on a little roundabout. Nobody really understands how little roundabouts work, especially when they're next door to each other on a hill in St. Albans. So, yeah, I do not understand how anyone can learn to drive when no one else seems to know how to learn to drive either.
I hate roundabouts. They're just that's how I'm going to meet my end. I just
a
know
big
it.
Roundabout.
Yeah, that's why I'm avoiding driving.
I didn't realise that little roundabouts work differently to big roundabouts, so I feel as though I might be one of the satanic
you go right,
few.
So left.
Oh, that's not true,
Stop
Jim Campbell.
Stop spreading disinformation.
No that's way.
That wasn't even my voice.
We're not having another cult episode of The Ramble. I'm sorry, Pete. I know what you're trying to do, and I won't have it. I'm going to come over there and indicate at you. Here we all are. We're going to talk about Jack Grealish, if that's all right, because what we really want is for Villa fans to shout at us. Do you think that's a legitimate reaction, Jim Campbell, to seeing your best player linked heavily with Manchester City?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously know some Villa fans and it's very, very upsetting to even witness what this sort of thing is doing to them. And we've all been in situations where, you know, your sort of talismanic player is likely to leave. I do think that there is a chance that Grealish will actually stay, you know, because Villa are debt free, which is rare in the Premier League, and their owners have a combined wealth of something like £7.3 billion. So they're not here
good
to fuck about. Like
friendly billionaires that do but nice
they
things.
They're investing heavily. They've got money, kind of more so than people seem to be talking about. And I think it's easier to sell someone like Jack Grealish or even Harry Kane a bit of a dream, a club that they have a strong emotional bond to.
Right.
So I think there's a possibility that neither of those transfers will happen. I mean, I say that expecting that they likely will, but I don't think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be as straightforward as like, oh yeah, City want me. Yeah, brilliant. I'll go. I think Villa have a good chance of fighting their corner well. That said, I mean, it pretty much guarantees trophies, doesn't it? And it's you're hoping that could happen at Villa. You know it will happen at City.
Yeah, the thing is as well about Jack Grealish, right, is he draws a lot of fouls, Petey. So really, there's not much point, given how terrible City's penalty-taking record is, there's really not much point signing Jack Grealish unless you also sign Harry Kane.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, look, if you're putting him on the chopping block, absolutely fine, Kate. You heard it here first. Kate Mason wants Kane out of her club. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
What's he ever done for us?
What's he ever done for you? It is weird, isn't it? It's kind of like Villa seem like the sort of club who probably would need to be a selling club, but they don't. They could probably match wages, probably. He is the most important player to Villa, and Villa fans can get upset about that, but the stats back it up. He's as important to Aston Villa as De Bruyne is to Manchester City. So, yeah, he's in a really, really unique position. This isn't just, you know, hometown club versus, you know, oil-rich billionaire nightmare outfit. This is, well, it is one of those things, but
apparently they're more into the liquid natural gas these days. Actually, oil's a bit passe.
Nuts. They keep moving the goalposts, so to speak. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this one plays out, but he is so important to Aston Villa. And is 100 million anything these days, even in a depressed market?
Not to Jim Campbell.
I've got to be honest, £100 million would make quite a difference to my life. But I mean, it'd be a record, wouldn't it, within the Premier League? So £100 million, I think, is fairly meaningful for anyone involved.
What would you spend £100 million on, Jim?
What would I spend £100 million on?
Pot plants.
They could do with a bit more watering, actually. So I'd probably get someone to do that.
Yeah.
Maybe a gardener. Probably get a butler. I'd stay in the same flat, just with a butler.
Aww.
Just upgrade it, yeah.
See how that goes.
That's really nice. I sometimes think that's what I'd do as well. All I ever wanted to have is a PA and then the rest of my life being exactly the same.
What, doing the same stuff, but you just have a PA?
Exactly,
because then I wouldn't have to, like, you know, work out what I was supposed to be doing on any given day or, like, pay bills.
I mean, you still pay them. Just someone prompts you to do it, presumably.
Yeah, and how much less painful is that?
Yeah, fair enough. We are staring down the barrel of a potential Man City having both Jack Grealish and Harry Kane in them, which is scary, isn't it?
And Kevin De Bruyne.
Pointless, yeah.
I mean, yeah, and the players that were already there, obviously.
They are the players that create most chances in the Premier League. There won't be enough goals to sort of share around them. They're going to be fuming. Yeah. They're going to be squabbling.
Yeah, that maybe it won't work, actually. Maybe they'll just get in each other's way.
Not enough goals, not enough supply. They can't all have the ball, can they?
Yeah. I think the thing about, well, certainly Harry Kane has proved himself to be a pretty selfless player, hasn't he? I think the cool thing about watching Jack Grealish, apart from this whole belief that he's a maverick and everybody just constantly wants him to play for England because it's fun, is that what we love watching him do is this idea of carrying the ball, right? He's carried the ball further than any other player. Apart from who? Do you guys know? He's carried the
ball.
Is it
Harry Kane?
It's not. It's not. But I can see. No, it's Adama Traore.
That makes sense.
I mean, because then if you think about seeing him going on those runs and like just leaving other people for dust.
Yeah, but that's most of his game though, isn't it? To be fair to him. So yeah that makes sense.
We'd argue that. But another player who does a lot of that as well is Kevin De Bruyne. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's not really fair, but we already know this.
It's not really fair, but if they can get him for 100 million, that is a steal. I don't care whether it is a Premier League record or not. That's incredible.
to be fair, though, as well, I mean, for those transfers to happen, City have to sell a lot of players. And also, I mean, they're selling squad players off left, right and centre. They've already sold Angelino, Jack Harrison and Lucas and Mecha. And I don't even know who that last person is. So they've just got so many players like on the books that they can sell to make money. But surely there are going to have to be some casualties. Someone like maybe Bernardo Silva, maybe Riyad Mahrez. Surely one of those players could go elsewhere. It'd be interesting to see where they land.
Yeah, that's true. Although I guess the whole thing at the moment, isn't it? We mentioned it a tiny bit on Wednesday, is that like FFP is just sort of completely chilling at the moment because COVID is happening. And so fill your boots, basically. So this is a perfect moment not to do that, is what I mean.
Well, yeah, but that said, I mean, if they sell off those squad players, it's three players they've already named, there are more to come. They might even still land within it.
I see. You're just backing them. You're the public face, the apologist for the death of FFP. Actually, Pete, come to think of it, probably what it is crying out for is a kind of American style model in the Premier League that includes, you know, a draft.
and teams like specifically tanking their league position so that they come first in the draft like they do in basketball sometimes.
Yeah. As long as there's no relegation, we'll all be happy.
Well, okay, so European Super League draft. I'm all into it. I'm into it. I'm like
let them do it.
Let them get on with it. Said.
Why are we just holding back the power of big commerce? It's over, guys. Society is dead. Margaret Thatcher told us that.
Well, this has taken a turn I wasn't expecting.
It's taken a turn, hasn't it? Lordy.
At the moment, you're
not on
in
one
the room,
of your forums now,
the true colours come out.
Yeah, today I thought we'd do the cult revelation and also some sort of big Tory setup. How are you feeling about that?
But fine. Where would you see Riyad Mahrez going? Or is this the Great Reset? Two topics. Get in touch at Football Ramble.
Do you have a view about that? Actually, did you have a thought about Riyad Mahrez goes? Maybe you have to spread it out. Maybe it is a kind of informal draft, and he has to turn up at Tottenham or wherever.
Well, he's just to pick a team out of a hat, I suppose. Yeah, we take. I mean, like, he's 30 years old. He's a hell of a footballer, and he played quite a few times this season. He's played as much as he did in his first season for Manchester City. So, look, I think he'd be, again, one hell of a big ticket to signing for someone, even at his age. I think he's still fit.
Like you were saying, Jim, they've got so many people kicking around and just being biffed off that they don't even really know what they've got. So Pedro Porro joked, it says here, but I don't know if it's a joke, earlier this week that Pep doesn't even know the club signed him after he spent two seasons out on loan. He reveals that the two have never spoken. He is, as I understand it, now up for sale. So
that'll teach you.
Yeah, he shouldn't have reminded him that he existed.
Yeah, or at least he should have let him know that he did exist and then he might have played him. Lordy.
Yeah,
no use doing it in the close season, is it? Div.
No, you need to be knocking at that door. You need to be doing a Danny Rose. That turned out so well for him. Yeah, exactly right. Okay, well, so it sounds as though what are we saying about this? We think it's broadly speaking going to happen, and it's the death of football, Jim.
I think you might be saying that, but I think me and Jim might be saying it won't happen because Villa are minted and he's very important. He's more important to Villa than any other footballer has ever been important to anyone, I think.
I think it also could come down to it being Kane or Grealish, and I think they might prioritise Kane.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about the Kane transfer, Kate? Because I think a lot of people thought it might have happened by now, and the fact that it hasn't makes you think maybe Spurs will be able to hang on to him. Because I think it could be the possibility that a lot of clubs are actually waiting for Erling Haaland's release clause to become active next summer. So we're kind of holding fire a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's not a dissimilar situation in the sense that, well, I've always felt like Harry Kane is a person who does like to be, you know, stable and embedded in a space and isn't someone who's like wanting to go off jaunting the world as from his own personality, but in terms of his actual like ambition as a player, I think that's going to stand ahead. But yeah, I don't know if he stays for another year. Is that a terrible decision? I sort of feel for him, it might be, but then equally, and I guess also what we've seen with Fabio Paratici doing all of these, you know, getting people in, getting people out. There is clearly activity going on in Tottenham's transfer business more than it has been in many years. So it's not just a case, I don't think, like we were saying on Wednesday, it feels like there's a plan, whatever it is. Hopefully it doesn't feature losing Harry Kane or converting him into whatever it was, seven players like in Gareth Bale's time.
Yes. You would hope that they'd learn the lesson from that, even though it was a long time ago.
Yeah, but we kept reminding ourselves of it. Look, the other thing that's going on at the moment is actually in your neck of the woods, Jim Campbell, because Arsene Wenger has been linked with a return to management.
He
bloody has. He's going to come back and save the day at the Emirates. No. So basically, according to this, the Switzerland national team are looking for a replacement for Vladimir Petkovic. He's gone to manage Bordeaux. That's not the bit that it's according to. And Wenger is being touted for the role. I mean, you know what this is, don't you? Basically, Wenger watched Granit Xhaka in the Euros and he's like,
yeah,
I need to be reunited with my boy. I need to get back into that. He's 71, Wenger. What do we think? I mean, he could live another 60 years.
Oh.
50 years.
Let's not predict how long Arsene Wenger is likely to live for.
Let's not threaten Arsene Wenger. He's a celebrated student and also teacher of the game, quite frankly. Jim, do you not think that would be just the very definition of a lovely old job?
Retirement
job.
Definitely.
Heading down to Lake Geneva. In a rowboat with your charges.
I mean, he's been doing some work for FIFA, hasn't he? So he's probably in Switzerland quite a lot anyway. In the old glass death star that they've got over there. So, I mean, they tried to get him in 1995, apparently. So,
just playing the waiting game.
Jadon
Sancho transfer. Yeah.
Yeah. But it'd be just lovely to see him back in a dugout and in an international dugout where I don't feel weirdly jealous of it. You know, it'd be good. Because apparently Switzerland, they just want someone to come in and just get them qualified for the World Cup. That's their priority. So I think Wenger would be good at that. Be interested to see how he manages, you know, an international team as well, because it's such a different challenge when you can't choose your own players to the same degree, isn't it?
Well, he doesn't need to when he's got Xhaka. I think we're being a tiny bit disrespectful to the Switzerland job, given that these dudes just, you know, beat France in a major tournament.
Absolutely.
These are proper guys who could go far in the World Cup.
This is not what I'm saying. This is just what I've read.
That it would be lovely, or that Geneva's nice.
No, that their priority is just getting to the World Cup and getting that.
I see what you mean. You weren't just trying to slate them in hopes of attracting a bit of the Swiss cabal. Yeah. So look, you're 71 and you're Arsene Wenger. It seems like he really ought to still be managing someone, doesn't it? Based on what we learn about how there's all these stories about him, his daughter saying, oh, we can finally go for dinner because we never were able to, because there's always some game of football that he could have been watching at every single day of the week, pretty much every hour. So if you like that.
I feel that's a shame. In a way, like, be a dad, Arsene. Be a dad.
Yeah, I'll get yourself like a mobile subscription to the Sky Sports or BT or whatever. Just watch it on your phone.
No, what? No, that is not That is not the answer to good parenting. Watching
hide
something
it
on
behind
your phone.
A big lump of meat.
Watching something on your phone while you pretend to listen to your daughter finally having a chance to pour her heart out because you haven't spoken to her in 30 years.
It sounds very much like I would be an excellent dad.
yes, it
to the
does.
Reservoir.
Also, guys, this is a bit of a I'm a bit sad that Brussels not here, because Raymond Domenech has been up to some hilarious hijinks. He says he was one of those who saved Nantes, the football club rather than the specific place, in an interview with France Info yesterday. I don't know if you remember his glorious reign at Nantes, guys. You may have missed it because it lasted 8 games and he was sacked after 46 days. But he said he calmed the climate of uncertainty.
Well, I mean, he made them certain they were shit.
Yeah.
So
it's like when I turn up at a house party, I unify the room, everyone hating me. So like, in many ways, I kind of agree with him. Like, if the whole club can, like, unify behind, like, you know, attacking one person, Raymond Domenech.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Having a fall guy.
Yeah.
He sort of gets to the denial stage of grief and then just stays there, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
Correct. Maybe he's just sacrificing himself, in a sense.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah.
But let's make it very clear that him describing his time at the club as a beautiful experience, it was not a beautiful experience for him or the club. It was terrible.
I suppose the other, I mean, you could argue that being a manager for only under 50 days is a sort of uncertain thing, isn't it? You know, like, what's happening next? I don't feel as though he's taking his pronouncements very seriously here.
I would. No. The first thing I would do at a club is sort of bring in some very heavy, unique machinery that only I could run. You know, like when Sam Allardyce was obsessed with Bolton, with those big cryogenic chambers or whatever.
Do you mean that? Isn't cryogenic where you get, like, where you go after you die and then you hope to be regenerated?
A cryostasis, like 30-second chamber where you go really cold really quickly. It's not like the head of Walt Disney in a box kind of situation. You just get frozen a little bit and it helps you recover. But just bring in a bit of machinery that only you can run, and then it's what I did with the football ramble, to be quite frank. The microphones. Yeah. No one knows what's going on. It's the only reason why I'm still here.
Yeah. Oh, what? Because you know how to work the switches.
Yes.
Built the studio. Yes. You're the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, and we praise you for it, you technical wizard behind the curtain.
Cheers,
mate. Get out from behind the curtain, Pete. It's a bit weird. All right. Oh, I've got something else to say before we go to a break, which we're going to do. If you want more European football chat, head over to Football Ramble Presents On the Continent is back for the new season. Dot and Andy trying to bring in Raymond Domenech at every available opportunity. And Lars also tried to unpack the Barcelona situation yesterday. They discussed a whole lot more. Get over there, find out what Raymond's been up to. I don't actually know if they talked about Raymond, so that could be a false plug. Cool advertising standards. All right, time for a break.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/ramble.
Join me, Jaguar, the host of BBC Introducing Dance on Radio 1, for my brand new podcast, Utopia Talks. It's a reactive platform to discuss issues that my generation care about in dance music culture and the wider world. I'll be talking to some of the biggest names in dance music, including people like Heidi.
The lineups do not need to be 99% male-driven. Mm. There's all these interesting new producers and women that are coming through, you know, all sorts. Yeah. It's like women are speaking out now.
And the sensational Bless Madonna.
I feel like literally my entire life has led up to this. This is the first event we've had like this, not just in the UK, but really in the Western Hemisphere. And to be able to be here with all of these people who are so happy is just absolutely the biggest, highest joy of my life.
As well as having the meaty conversations I often have with friends that I'd love you to join in with.
There's so much new energy coming out of the pandemic, and there's so many like new nights and festivals, yeah, yeah. And everyone's really pushing for this new structure where people genuinely don't feel anxious mm-hmm. about coming to a club night because of the way they look or the way they dress. It's more about everyone in.
To me, Utopia is a perfect moment. It's togetherness, it's the future. I want to live in a more inclusive, equal world, and I hope this podcast will build a community and help create change. Subscribe now on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. New episodes dropping every Wednesday. Welcome to Utopia Talks.
Utopia Talks is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Jermaine Defoe, and this is the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's me and Pete and Jim all together in your ears this Friday or Saturday or Sunday. Or actually, you can listen to it any day, it occurs to me. Now it's time for some of these.
If you got a new nickname for Pete or you're a big fan of Vish, if you want Jules to swear at you or you think Jim's a dish, if you like Kate's pop culture references or got a Sven story for Speller, if you disagree with Luke or think that Andy's far too clever, email show at footballramble.com. Go ahead and email show at footballramble.com.
We got an email from Samuel Campbell, possibly a relation to our very own Jimothy.
Not one I'm aware of, but who knows?
Sam Cam. In relation to Marcus talking about the tenants' sixes, I thought I'd let you know that here in Northern Ireland we had our own version, but as usual, usually happens in our wee country, things didn't go to plan. The competition was played at Dundonald Ice Bowl, so basically the pitch was on top of a big ice rink, and one year, inevitably, the ice began to melt.
No way. God. I don't believe
Do you imagine?
At all. Surely when if you were playing it in an ice rink, you just... Are we being scammed here? Is it Scam Campbell that's been writing?
I mean, it's not really that exciting a story that a bit of ice sort of melted. You've got to look who is this for? Who is this confection, this invention for?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's trying to draw attention to like the plight of the ice caps. Perhaps it's a meta.
Maybe.
It's a subliminal message thing. Because surely if you're hosting something in an ice rink, you just de-ice it. You just get rid of the ice.
Well, I think you put... If you get rid of the ice in an ice rink, don't you no longer have an ice rink?
Well,
I think you just put things
flat
on top of it.
Well, I imagine it's flat somewhere. Where does it? It goes down layers, right?
If any expertise in ice rink among our listeners,
Where does it end?
Be made aware
could
of.
Could I fish for fish? Can I make a little ice hole and like a little ball hole and do some deep sea glacial fishing, please?
Yeah, any polar bears, penguins, any of the above, right in.
Any of that.
Could you make an ice goal? Like the actual goals for hockey just be made of ice itself.
And it shatters when you hit it.
Yeah.
Smashing.
Because those pucks move pretty fast, don't they?
That'd
be really cool. So you dig it, Jim, in that concept, are you making it go as like a hole, or are you digging the whole thing out?
Almost making like a half igloo. I mean, yeah. I don't know if that would work. Presumably the igloo needs to be mostly shut to work. But that's what I'm thinking as an amateur ice architect. That's my plan.
Old Edward Scissorhands over here. Yeah, have we got many Inuit listeners? Do you happen to know?
Who knows?
If we do, can you get in touch? Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at Football Ramble. You've got plenty of time because I think at this time of year, it'll be sunny all day and all night, right? In that part of the world.
No idea.
Not much Inuit expertise on the show, so we definitely
absolutely not. Absolutely none, really.
We need you, Inuits, right in. Now, exciting bit of... No, hang on. I mean, I was about to say, exciting bit of pre-season action, which no one was gonna fall for. But exciting in the context of Virgil van Dijk returning. So Liverpool played last night. They actually lost to Hertha Berlin 4-3. But it saw the return to the ring, a little ice hockey reference there, of Virgil van Dijk and also Joe Gomez. So van Dijk, as we'll all remember, has had now 9 months out, came on in, him and Gomez came on together, subbed in for the last 20 minutes in that 4-3 defeat to Hertha Berlin. I mean, he looked a tiny bit rusty from what I've seen, Jim, but...
Well, yeah.
Understandably.
Yeah, wouldn't you, after 9 months out? I mean, it's not just recovering from the injury, is it? It's getting your fitness back together after that sort of thing. Like, if you're an elite level sports person, to get back to that level must be so, so hard. And I think it's something that's probably kind of overlooked quite a lot. So it's probably going to take the pair of them a little while to get back up to speed. But what a boost that is for Liverpool to be without both of them for so much of last season clearly had a big, big effect. And I mean, the makeshift defence they have to put together, we will look back on that years later and just be kind of amazed by how they managed to you know, still end the season strongly, I think. It was a hell of an achievement. But yeah, it makes them a completely different prospect. If they can get back to anywhere near the level they were, then this makes Liverpool quite a sort of daunting thing.
Yeah, because I was just going to say, also in that time, they beat together. They created a defence that became, from being makeshift to being pretty stable, right? Ozan Kabak and Nat Phillips. And so had the opportunity of ultimately bringing through these younger players, which is something that is potentially a massive advantage in the future, even with VVD back.
Absolutely.
I think I think you would really worry. I know, how old's Van Dijk? 29, 30, something like that. If he had a 9 month break like this, you know, 7 years earlier, like how much football you'd be missing and how much kind of learning you'd miss. This is probably the best time in his career to sort of do it, because he could have another 10 years after this, hopefully. But yeah, I'd be fearing for him if he was a 22, 23 year old player, missing that amount of football at that tender age. But you hope that his kind of muscle memory will kick in again sooner rather than later. But the Liverpool fans will have to be patient. Have to be patient.
Right. Yeah. Don't think you're preaching to the choir with that.
I've had someone inform me on Twitter this morning that people are already saying that Van Dijk is a washed player and that X player is clear. So, yeah, what do we know?
No.
We know optimism, apparently. Turns out, though, ultimately, Liverpool only conceded 42 goals in the end, because obviously they conceded most of them at the start of the season, right? And then it was actually the fourth lowest of the division. So
a lot of them against Villa. Like a lot, genuinely, a lot of them against Villa.
Yeah, yeah, what is that? Percentage. That's a sixth, isn't it?
That's amazing. And that was with Van Dijk and Gomez, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's so nice. Yeah,
maybe they are washed.
Off. He's a washed player. The other thing is, I don't know what impact you guys think this will have, but obviously we could say it would be a positive one, but clearly Joe Gomez and VVD would have featured pretty heavily for their national sides in the Euros, Pete, if they'd been available to play. So I don't know.
Are you saying they're going to be fresh? Are you saying they're going to be fresh after
9 months
out? That
wasn't my take. That wasn't my take, but it's just, I don't know. I actually was wondering more like psychologically, or you could have, I mean, I'm just, this is COD, right? But you could just imagine watching the other people experience that and feeling bitter.
What, that they've had all that time off? And they've, you know, they've learnt new skills.
No,
they've just been chilling out.
Well, in one case, your team got to the final.
Oh, right. Okay, I see. Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, wanting to prove themselves.
Yeah, they'd be fired up, of course. You've missed out on a lot of amazing experiences.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like we're not really biting this, but that was just my... I'll return to my little, you know, therapy books that I've been reading during the, what are they calling it? The Mental Health Olympics. Sure. It's been pretty incredible. Have you been catching much of the Olympics, by the way? The women are playing right now. We're missing it. We can't bring you a result.
What's the current score?
Oh, I don't know. I'll dig it out. It's,
you don't have to. You brought it up. You said they're playing now. I thought, and you looked off camera. So I was like, well, she's probably got it on a second screen somewhere.
I was just checking to see how far in they were.
Based on
what the recording time is. I think it's currently 0-0. Oh, wow. Yeah, Breaking news on a podcast, guys. We really...
Goalless.
We've really upgraded ourselves here. Yeah, so exciting stuff. And almost as exciting, some of all this. Last thing to say also, Ibrahima Konate as well, playing for Liverpool, recently signed from Leipzig, breathing down all of the necks of that back line. It actually looks like maybe going forward, they're going to have to focus their attentions. Carabao Cup kicks off tomorrow, everybody. Don't worry, there isn't just Olympics to feast your eyes on. Don't shake your head, Jim Campbell. I can see you.
I didn't even know I'd done that.
He was dancing. He was so excited.
It's my chair. I'm moving on my chair. I am dancing. You're right. Thanks, Pete, for having my back.
Dancing with joy at the thought of the Carabao Cup. What would you think was the most apt season opener for the Carabao Cup?
I mean, obviously Bournemouth versus MK Dons, because that's what it is.
Do you think they pitched it like that? They were like, we've got to make this happen. You know?
It's the showpiece. Of the season, really.
What's that little car with the ball on it doing? Come on.
Yeah. Apparently it's in the rugby sevens. I haven't seen it, but apparently
subject
of the Olympics, someone says there's a car with a ball on it in the rugby.
Are we going to be seeing this more in every sort of two-bit competition? Not the rugby, I mean the Carabao Cup. I think even the Carabao Cup would appreciate that it's not the premier football competition in Europe.
Oh, dear. I think that's very disrespectful to extremely strong energy
drinks.
I'm
so sorry.
It's and also, hey, look, a bit the nice news, I guess, is that or TBC, depending on what we saw at Wembley, the Euros final, but it's going to be the first competitive club game, in front of a full crowd in England since March 2020.
I mean, that is something to celebrate, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean,
celebrate responsibly, people. Is
of course,
what I'd say.
But, you know, like obviously, Wembley was an abhorrent cauldron of chaos in parts for the final, but just gradually over the Euros, seeing more fans in stadiums and seeing the fans in the stadiums in Hungary as well, you realize what you've been missing in a way that's kind of impossible to appreciate until it comes back. So I think it's going to be quite emotional, the season starting off with more fans.
I'm willing to be proved wrong, but I don't think there's going to be 10,000 fans without tickets trying to break down the doors to get to see Bournemouth versus MK Dons.
No, probably
not.
Yeah,
more disrespect for the mighty Dons, as they're known, Brassel, when you're listening. On Google, it's listed as a qualifier for the Europa Conference League, which is something I think, Jim, we can all get behind.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you excited to see this new competition? Genuinely, I've read a lot of stuff around teams from sort of, you know, less glamorous leagues and from smaller countries where they are genuinely really, really thrilled about it. And it's easy to kind of to laugh at Spurs for being in it or laugh at whoever ends up in it every season from the Premier League, which will happen and there'll be memes and it'll be really tedious. But it, having had a bit more of a look at it, it does look like a really, really positive thing for most of those teams involved. So good for them.
All right, then.
And if we can sort of find, if there's easy ways to sort of watch it, if they streamed it on YouTube or if they streamed it on Twitter or Facebook or something, that'll be a really decent start, I think. If you know, just make it easy for people to watch and people will get into it.
Give people access to it. It raises the standard, right? If those teams can all be into European competition, and that can only be good for everyone.
Yeah, and Leonard Slutsky is keen on it, as we know.
Oh, yes, he's on a dance on Twitter. Was he singing or was he dancing or something? He was having a lovely time. I hope he goes very deep in the competition.
Yeah, me too. That's the sort of thing you want to have in order to build up a good... speaking of things that are going to be free to watch on YouTube, Women's Champions League action. So get you.
Oh, there you go. Lovely.
Nice.
Get you. Make it easy for people will become fans if you give them access to it free. Mm. And then, you know, hike up the price in 3 years' time. That's how capitalism works. And drug dealing.
have you seen this about Gillingham? Speaking about luring fans back to games.
Yes.
£2 pints. £2 pints, people. Let's get down there to support the mighty No. It's gone off. I didn't know this, that you're allowed to just sell gone off stuff for two...
Apparently so. They're selling out-of-date pints for £2. And, like, nothing fells a middle-aged man like the fabled bad pint.
Yeah.
So, like, this is dangerous stuff, surely.
I think it is. Does it keep fermenting?
Was it like individual cans? Was it individual cans? Because if it was in a can, I wouldn't mind it. But out of the barrel, you don't want all the pints where the lines haven't been cleaned and stuff.
I mean, beer lasts for ages, doesn't it? Yeah. Which makes you think, like, if it's out of date, how old is it? Is it like from the 70s?
I think Wetherspoons has their business model is predicated based on getting booze approaching its sell by date because they've got so much capacity because they've got the infrastructure to sell pints really quickly. They can have knocked down kind of raw materials so they get their drinks a little cheaper because they go, look, you're not going to be able to sell this in a month's time, but I can because I've got a million pubs.
Yeah, a friend of mine describes Tim Martin, the Wetherspoons CEO guy, as a Brexit Yeti, and I think that's the most apt description of the man I've seen.
Lovely.
I'm just looking at the pictures. There's some pictures from this Gillingham bit of entrepreneurial activity, and what it actually says is out of date alcohol, £2.
Right.
So I don't actually know if these are pints. And what I can see in the background of this picture is someone opening a bottle. So it could be...
Oh, so it could just be bottles then. You might be all right, to be fair.
Looks like a Foster's, maybe.
We're not telling anyone to drink off pints. That's not in this...
Also, used by date are different, right?
Yeah, true. It's organic matter, isn't it? It'll be fine. I've got a mate who's trying to create a different, you know, long brewing, fermenting. Is that what beer does? Brewing beer, and they stick it in huge vats and they leave it for ages, and it's supposed to make the beer taste more flavoursome. So it's possible that, like, you know, vintage wine, is that the term? It'll be absolutely delicious and way more than it would have been. Shout out to the crossover blendery as well there, just in case you're listening.
That is how they should have marketed that. Vintage beer.
Vintage £2. Beer. The beer your daddy drank, literally.
Yeah, they could have marked it up. They could have bloody marked it up. Right, people. Do you know what's happening now? Are you excited?
I'm nervous.
It's Friday. There's no Luke Moore. And there's a game.
One of those games is quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it.
It's called The Mason Link. No, it's not. It's just, it's called Kay's Game, I guess. Or Mace's Game. What do you reckon sounds better?
It doesn't matter about the branding. It's still that
still
gooey,
the same
chocolatey
game.
Goodness that is the game.
The game. It's called The Game. All right, then.
After your favourite book, Kate.
After your favourite wrestler.
Link. That's there'll be no negging in this next phase of the Football Ramble on Friday.
I severely doubt that, to be honest.
No, that's true. Look, so we need to start with there's going to be a small twist, guys, because obviously we want to really challenge the two of you. And sometimes I feel like Luke's game is a bit easy for such fine footballing minds as you are. So we're going to start with this incredibly historical figure within the game. He's a great man. He's played for 12 clubs. His career, guys, you're going to have to pay quite focused attention to this in order to make sure that you really grapple with what kind of clubs he's likely to be playing for if you don't know them off by heart already. Yeah, his career ran from 96 to 09. Yes, that is 1896 to 1909. He is Herbert Chapman.
Are you serious? Herbert Chapman. Who he played for.
I mean, there's quite a few clubs there. We could have a stab, I reckon.
I think if I'm allowed to give tips, my strategy would be to just pick some clubs that you think would have been around then. He spent half of his time playing as an amateur. So professional football in England started in 1888, for any Football Ramble fans who are planning to write in and say it's not professional clubs. He did play as an amateur for some of the time he was playing, but to make it easier for you guys, you can have his amateur or the places he played for, amateur or professional.
Right. Can I Google this one?
No, you fucking can't! Just guess some old clubs, mate.
So, Is it me going? Am I going first? All right. And he played for 12 clubs.
12, just the 12. I mean, there's quite a lot of range there, isn't there?
I'm going to go for 3.
Lovely. Pete?
I'm going to go for 4. Sod it. I'm throwing caution to the wind.
Great.
I love it.
Good.
Jim, are you going to come back in with the big 5?
What do you think? No, I'm not.
I think the 3 was pretty much the sign of a wise guy. Come on then, Pete Donaldson.
Arsenal. Woolwich Arsenal? Before they ran off?
I'm really sorry. I actually had assumed that he did play for Arsenal, but
nuts.
In fact...
All right, the Highgate Wobblers. I don't know who fucking existed back then.
Thank you for being good sports, everybody. I'm afraid the answer is not Arsenal. He did play... So, yeah? Do you want to hear them?
Yes, please.
He did play for Tottenham. So, in order, just for the purists, Kiverton Park, Ashton North End, Stalybridge Rovers, Rochdale, Grimsby Town. These were the ones I thought maybe we could have a stab at.
Yeah,
Swindon,
Grimsby's always one of those ones.
Swindon Town, Sheppey United and that. Worksop Town, Northampton Town, Sheffield United is the one I thought maybe you guys... He had a couple of appearances, but he, you know, Sheffield United is like a really old club. Notts County, Northampton Town on loan. Again, Tottenham and back to Northampton Town. I don't know if I've done my maths right there, but anyway, several clubs, none of which we got. Who gets a point for that?
I do. Outrageous beginning to the game.
I think we're treating this game with the respect it deserves, Jim. What do you reckon? Yeah.
All right. Well, since you've been so generous in enjoying that bit of footballing folklore, your next player is... And who's this for? Oh, Pete gets the bid next, all right?
Okie dokie.
Your next player is Zerdan Shaqiri.
Oh.
5 clubs for him. 1, 2, 3.
I'm going to go 3.
I like it. Firm and fruity. What about you?
I'm going to go 4.
Oh.
Four.
I'm not going to go 5. Name them, Jim.
I will do. So, Stoke City.
Correct.
Liverpool.
Correct.
Bayern Munich.
Correct.
And Inter.
Stop it. He has absolutely nailed it. Ooh.
Was he at PSV at any point? Why have I got that in my head?
No, the only one... So, Jim, you just did 4, didn't you? 4 or 5. The only one you missed was Basel.
Basel. I would have gone for Ghent, I think. Shit. And I would have been wrong, so I didn't.
No, that's... I think 4 is a very elegant score. Well done, mate.
Thanks for the power cube.
Well done, Jim.
And what for the what?
The power cube. That's what he's known as, isn't it?
Oh, for the power cube. I thought that was what I was providing to you. I was giving you a little power cube, Jim, in celebration of your success. All right, then. Ooh, stressful. What that means is Jim is now 2-0 up, I think.
Yeah, I can't really claw it back. This is all just for guts and glory, isn't it, really?
I don't know. Well, I think
depends what curveball's coming next, isn't it?
It's all right. We're keeping things straightforward here, trying to keep you all in the game. Jim, your bid, please, for the 4 clubs of Toby Alderweireld.
Ooh.
He's been in the news a fair bit this week.
I saw the
most tragic tweet about the game he's going to be starting in the Qatar Stars League. I think they're going up against Alcor next Sunday.
I'm only confident about 2, so I'm going to say 2.
All right, 2.
Given that I've got my cushion.
Ooh.
Come on, PT.
I think I could go for 3.
Yes!
I think I'd go for 3.
Yes, come on! Come on then, Pete Donaldson.
All right. Ajax.
Tick.
Spurs.
Tick, tick.
Southampton.
Bloody get in.
Yeah,
damn,
he's
right.
Nailed it.
He's absolutely nailed it. It's a loan move. 26 appearances and a single goal. Good job, Toby. And
yes.
Good job, Pete Donaldson. 2-1. All right. It's a 3 cup matches. As we know, from our support finals. Of Phil Neville. Free Cup finals, exactly. There's silverware on the line. With this next one, it is a man whom people might remember as having appeared in an Imperial Leather commercial. If you haven't, look it up. Paolo Di Canio, 10 clubs.
10 clubs.
Oh, it's me, yeah, sorry. I'll do 3, I reckon.
Well, good job.
3.
Good job, man.
Just trying to give you a bit of a boost.
I'm going
to
go 4.
Yes, mate.
Good man. How about 5, Petey?
Name him, Jim. Name him.
Go for it.
I want to
name him. So it's West Ham United.
Yep.
Tick.
Sheffield Wednesday.
Very good.
Charlton Athletic.
Yep.
And Lazio.
Jim Campbell wins. Flawless victory.
Yeah.
Who needs a bloody jingle when you've got one of us just contributing to that? Well done, Jim. 3-1 final score. The last guy. Who have we got? The last guy. I've lost it. I've lost it. John Joe Shelby was the last one. 5 clubs. And I'm not going to let you try and pick them because, interestingly, my laptop is about to die.
Let's get out of here.
And I can't plug it in because it's plugged into the internet.
Oh.
So, yeah, play along yourselves at home and then look up the answers. 5 clubs for John Joe Shelby. Good job, guys. So nice to see your little faces. I hope you're all doing okay, i.e. Jim and Pete and everybody at home. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, everybody. Say goodbye, Jim.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
We'll catch you next time.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, and join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.